Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Puts up a floater and he hits it from just inside the free throw line. Kevin Porter Jr. ties this thing up. 101 apiece.
Bucks talk starts now.
Rebound ripped down by Kuzma, and the Bucks will get out of here with a 103-101 win, like bank robbers in the night.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, I told you before the game, I didn't outright say the Bucks were going to win, but if you read between the lines, this had the makings of those games. It's a couple of things. The biggest part of it was we talked about before, this part of the schedule, I mean, January and early February games are a total crapshoot to begin with. But you can see the All-Star break. The Timberwolves still had one more game tomorrow night, but you can see it on the horizon if you're these teams and you're just ready for it to be here. But we've also talked about this before. It is tough to get up for games when you look across the floor and you see best players out, second best player is out. I know the Timberwolves are down players too, but this is almost exactly what happened to the Bucks last year against the Memphis Grizzlies going into the All-Star break. I think that was the G.G. Jackson breakout game where Memphis beat the Bucks by 2 or 3 points, pretty similar to this, and a pretty strong win for the Bucks to head into the All-Star break. It was almost a terrific night all across. Had the Washington Wizards not fumbled away a game against the Indiana Pacers, you'd go into the break in fourth place in the Eastern Conference, but still much better than the way you felt going into the break last year. Even though the Bucks have now won just, what, I think 4 of their last 11 games, it's what have you done for me lately? And winning this game tonight without your two best players, continuing to get a strong performance from Kyle Kuzma, up and down from some of the other young guys, I think you can see at least the thought behind Kevin Porter Jr. I thought he had some nice moments. I'm not quite ready to anoint him as the defensive stopper. I think Anthony Edwards had some moments on him, as he does on many players. But overall, a pretty impressive win tonight for the Bucks to take down the Minnesota Timberwolves, who didn't have a couple of their key guys, Dante DiVincenzo, Julius Randle, and Mike Conley, but they did have Anthony Edwards, who came into this game having scored, what, I think 134 points in his last 3 games. So a really strong win to go into the All-Star break at 29-24. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And now the big thing is really just, unfortunately, monitoring the injury report 1 week from today to see what the status is of Giannis when the Bucks open up their second half schedule next Thursday.
Justin, I believe I said back on, I believe it was December 31st, it was the early game against the Indiana Pacers, New Year's Eve day, where the Bucks had a 19-point comeback. And I said after the game, I said, that was the win of the year for me up until that point. I think tonight for me, this game tops that. You know, you mentioned it. No Giannis, no Dame. You're on the road. Last game before a nice little break for this Bucks team, and they beat a solid Minnesota Timberwolves team who had won 3 of their last 4 prior to tonight. I think we had also talked about, I believe it was, maybe it was Sunday, we kind of talked about the last 3 games, what we'd like to see this Bucks team ideally win. You and I kind of agreed that, you know, obviously want to win all of them, but 2 of the 3 would be really, really huge. And when they lost to Golden State, I'll be quite honest with you, Justin, I had no faith that that would be possible. I didn't think the Bucks would win tonight, especially more so when Damian Lillard was announced that he was not going to play tonight. So I thought it was just an absolutely huge win, a huge road win too for this Bucks team. Tip of the cap to this entire team. But 2 guys for me kind of stick out. 2 guys, Justin, that are getting the official game ball honors. The first one, no surprise when you look at the scoreboard or the box score, going out to Gary Trent Jr., who outside of Dame these last, really since Giannis has been out, kind of in between that, he's kind of been like their best player outside of Giannis and Dame, of course. Tonight he led the team in scoring 21 points. I thought he was hitting timely shots, big three-pointers, kind of carrying the team offensively, especially in that second quarter. They found themselves in a little bit of a rut trying to get the scoring the ball. So I thought he was huge tonight. He gets the first honor. And the second game ball, his official first game. I know he's been waiting for this. He's a big fan of Buckstock, but yeah, I told him you got to have a performance to get the game ball. And tonight he did. Kyle Kuzma, 19 points, 13 boards. He's been about as steady as it gets, at least rebounding the basketball and scoring the ball, facilitating. I know tonight the assist numbers didn't pop out, but overall he's been a much better passer than I anticipated, Justin, when the Bucks acquired him. Super solid game from him to help this Bucks team, you know, kind of get this win. Great, great win tonight. I mean, we can nitpick a lot of negative things about this team, Justin, but to go into Minnesota, a place where the Bucks haven't fared very, you know, well over the years, to get a win without your two best players, I don't care who it is. Any team that has their two best players out is going to lose more times than not. For this Bucks team to go in there tonight and get a win before the break, absolutely huge. This one certainly felt big from my perspective. Good win for the Bucks.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk is Bucks beat the Timberwolves without Giannis and without Damian Lillard, so 29-24 on the season as we go into the All-Star break. Let's grab a call here before we take a break and head out to Milwaukee, talk with Q. You kick things off for us.
Justin, I am smiling ear to ear. I was so concerned about tonight's game, and it's amazing that we survived. And we didn't just survive, we thrived. Kuz, I do not want to disparage Chris Middleton and the legacy that he left behind in Milwaukee, but Kyle Kuzma is an energy and effort guy, and I did not expect that at all, and I think it is infectious, and I just love every second that he is on the court. Even when he makes a mistake, it's like a fast-paced, exciting mistake on the court, as opposed to I'm not going to go there, but I'm excited to see what happens post All-Star break when we get Giannis back. Hopefully, I think we're about the same age. Do you guys remember a little movie called Space Jam with Michael Jordan from the 90s? I think we've got a Monstars lineup coming out of the All-Star break. When you put Kyle Kuzma, Brooke Lopez, and Giannis Antetokounmpo on the court together, that's a pretty beefy lineup, and you got two athletic guys that can make up for Brooke's lack of speed at his senior age here. So, and last point I'll make is KPJ, putting the off-the-court stuff aside, another guy that looks to have some energy and effort and great court vision. Wondering what you think tonight's performance will do to Ryan Rollins' chances of signing a two-way deal. And if we're not going to do that, what type of power forwards and centers do you think will be available on the buyout?
Well, I don't guys. Well, real quick, Q, if they don't upgrade Ryan Rollins, I don't think they're looking for a power forward or center. I think they're still looking for somebody in the backcourt. Like Kevin Porter Jr.
Even after tonight?
Yeah. Kevin Porter Jr. is still not a point guard. It's the same conversation that Doc has had about Ryan Rollins. I mean, ideally, I don't think, to be clear, this guy is going to be bought out and available, but ideally, like, if Javon Carter happens to be bought out for a second time in, 4 years, and the Bucks get to nab him, I think that's what they're in the market for, something like that.
So Kyle Kuzma changed our lineup that much that you don't think that we would be desperate for front court depth.
But again, like, if you're desperate for it, that's not a good spot to be in. And we also have to keep in mind, I don't think there's anybody in the buyout market, number one, that the Bucks are even eligible to sign that plays that spot, that's going to be better than what you have. Like, I think it's basically just, is there a ball handling guard that we can we trust enough to play 8 to 10 minutes a game that becomes available.
I guess you're right. I'm forgetting that we have Sims now, and we haven't even unleashed that beast yet. So
yeah, and we still right. and we haven't seen Kuzma play next to Giannis either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean this. I don't know. I'm probably looking too much into a small sample size, but I am riding high into this All-Star break, and hopefully Jackson Jr. will be all right, and we'll be able to do the dunk contest. But thanks for a great show, as always, guys, and looking forward. I hope you guys are looking forward to your break.
I don't know, I don't know about a break, but yeah, I'm looking forward to at least having a little bit more of the time. Thanks for the call, Q. I mean, this was a rough game for Ryan Rollins. I don't have a problem overall with a lot of the shots that he took tonight, because when you don't have 60 points on the floor, you need somebody to create offense somewhere. But we've just continually seen struggles finishing around the rim for Ryan Rollins. Like, he can win at the perimeter and get into the paint, but he just struggles to finish there. We saw that very early with Dante DiVincenzo as well in his career. It comes with time. I didn't come away from this game tonight thinking, there's your answer. Kevin Porter Jr. is definitely your backup point guard. Again, I thought he had nice moments. I thought there's a lot of inconsistency to be expected. It's his second game with his new team. It was a tough assignment to be put out there on Anthony Edwards. I thought he won some of the times. I thought he lost some of the times. So I am intrigued to continue to develop that and see more and more of Kevin Porter Jr. And I think the biggest thing is, overall, I don't want to get too wrapped up in a very, very small sample size here, but in the games that we've seen so far, the Bucks are clearly a much more athletic team after this trade. And, I mean, you can see, granted, we haven't seen Giannis on the floor with this group yet, but you can start to see how things are going to work in transition with Kyle Kuzma pushing the pace and Giannis, his ability to do that as well, how much it changes things when you have multiple guys that are running. I think Doc talked about it tonight, too, that, you know, if you have multiple guys doing it, other guys that, not that they just don't care to, but maybe wouldn't otherwise get down the floor quickly, start to get down there because, number one, they see everybody else is doing it, and secondly, they know there's a chance I can get the ball and finish. So it just takes one guy to do that, to start to push your transition game in that direction. But you mentioned it before, I'm most struck so far by some of the passing ability I've seen from Kyle Kuzma. You knew he could rebound. You knew he was really good at, I guess I'd say, tough but unorthodox shots and getting those to drop. But his passing ability is what has stood out the most to me. That, and I suppose just, and I don't want to pile on our guy too much. He was, what, 5 years older than Kyle Kuzma? That's a part of it. But, man, seeing Kyle Kuzma move defensively, it's almost like when you put on glasses for the first time and realize, like, oh, I can read the bottom line on the chart now. That's what it was supposed to look like all along.
I got a question for you, because I to kind of go off of what Q was saying, our buddy John in the YouTube chat saying Kevin Porter Jr. makes up for any bad trades Horst has done. You don't think he could be? You don't think he'd be a good fit as the secondary ball handler? Was that? Is that? Am I correct? Is that what you kind of said earlier?
I didn't say he's not a good fit. I don't think.
Well, two games have shown
like this is our backup point guard.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm kind of I know it's early, and maybe you and I are going to disagree on this, but I think I'm kind of there with him. And I know it's only been two games, but tonight he had more extensive playing time than he's had. 11 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists in 22 minutes, 4-9 from the field. I don't know. I felt like I think he adds a different dynamic behind Damian Lillard, of course, that we don't have currently or have had coming off of the bench. I mean, maybe Maybe it's obviously, it's possibly, entirely possible it's too early to tell, Justin, but I don't know. I was really impressed with Kevin Porter Jr.
I think it still remains to be seen, but look, this much is clear. This trade was a win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, number one, you knew Marjon Beauchamp was not going to be on the team next year. You didn't pick up his fourth year, and I guess they could have revisited those conversations and signed him in the offseason. That's not what happens. When you don't pick up that option, it means we're moving on. And look at other teams that did similar things. The Grizzlies traded Jake LaRavia. They did the same thing and didn't pick up his fourth-year option. It just means we're moving on from the guy. So Marjon Beauchamp wasn't in the plans anymore. Kevin Porter Jr. has had some moments throughout the league. He is certainly a young, athletic player that has much more advanced offensive ability than Marjon Beauchamp does. You're taking on one extra year, assuming he picks up his player option, but it's a very small amount. So, yeah, like, this trade was a win. I get it. You can question everything off the floor, and we've started to hear more and more from Doc Rivers and John Horst about what went into that vetting process and who they believe Kevin Porter Jr. is as a person. I do think that's a fair conversation to have. But in terms of the player, yeah, I think it's a clear win to bring in a player as talented as Kevin Porter Jr. on a spot that, number one, the guy, as we mentioned, wasn't going to be a part of your plans going forward and just wasn't in the rotation period in Marjon Beauchamp.
Yeah, and I think if you want to question his off-the-court, you know, incidents, I won't argue your questioning. But I will say this. I think if you're going to surround him with a veteran presence and a veteran-led team and organization, like, there's, you know, not many more better than the Milwaukee Bucks in the way that they conduct themselves on and off the court. So this is a great opportunity, I think, Justin, for, first off, I agree with you. I thought the trade, John Horst, look, Marjon just, he didn't see the floor enough. And when he did, it just wasn't consistent enough. What you saw tonight out of Kevin Porter Jr. was probably better than what we've seen out of Marjon Beauchamp in his tenure in Milwaukee, with all due respect. But this is a great opportunity, I think, for Kevin Porter Jr. to kind of right his wrongs, you know, figure out his off the court, you know, learn and lean on. I don't know what he had in L.A. Obviously, they have other veterans on that team as well. But the Bucks handle business on and off the court, family-led organization that starts with Giannis. So it's a great opportunity for him to kind of figure his life out and on and off the court. And tonight was at least the last few games for him in Milwaukee have been a good start.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line. If you want to join us on Bucks Talk as we head into the All-Star break, an impressive win for the Bucks, taking down the Timberwolves without Giannis and without Damian Lillard. Game-winning free throws from Brooke Lopez, sealing a 103-101 victory. We're back with more after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
103-101 final score. Bucks take down the Timberwolves tonight without Giannis, without Damian Lillard. Giannis is going to miss the All-Star game on Sunday night. Dame will not, and Doc Rivers even said there's no concern there because they don't play defense in the All-Star game, so I'm not worried about Dame playing and re-aggravating anything or suffering any type of setback. But Bucks continue to have a lot of success against the Timberwolves in these last few years. Three straight wins in Minnesota now. They've won their six of the last seven times. And they do so tonight without 60 points in the lineup, without Giannis and Damian Lillard. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. We still haven't seen Jericho Sims. And John Horst was talking about this the other day. Sometimes it just takes time for big men to develop, and I think there is a belief, if I read between the lines on some of the things we've heard, the Bucks have that belief in Jericho Sims of, we got something here that we can work with. Not seeing him appear in a game yet, I just basically chalk up to the defensive scheme the Bucks run. They want to, going over that, essentially. We want to pack the paint, and I think really they want Jericho Sims to be on the floor with a Giannis type, where you just have the athleticism that you're throwing out there and switchability. that you have. So that's, I don't read anything into not seeing him yet. We know Doc Rivers is very high on Kevin Porter Jr. and his relationship with Ty Lue. That was a big part of the vetting process before this trade happened. But, you know, I suppose this is famous last words. We're, what now, 4 games into this team post-trade deadline. We've seen Kyle Kuzma in all 4 of those games. And we've seen Kevin Porter Jr. now in 2 of those games. We've yet to see Jericho Sims. But what stands out is, I understand what you're missing with Chris Middleton in terms of his IQ and his connectivity, his chemistry with Giannis, some of the moments that he's had in the playoffs. And that's, I suppose, the big question is, Chris has done this in the playoffs. I know Kyle Kuzma was on a championship team. I'm personally not going to discount it, but I think a number of people will. It was in the bubble. You didn't have to deal with a raucous atmosphere. It was a different setup in general. You got to see these guys go through those moments. I think that's the one thing you're still reserving judgment on. But overall, I just, now that we have a, albeit a small sample size, you see how it fits. And you get the thought process and you say, okay, I feel like this team massively upgraded their athleticism. Again, we talked about it in the last segment. Kevin Porter Jr. for Marjon Beauchamp was a massive win for the Bucks. I think we all said that at the time of the trade, too. Like, okay, I understand there's some questions there, to put it mildly, with KPJ off the court, or were, in fairness. But in terms of his talent and in terms of future with this team versus Marjon's, this is a big win for the Bucks, because I think everybody assumed Marjon would have to be like a salary dump, would be part of how do they get under the second apron. This was just a straight up, we'll give you this guy for this guy. That's a huge win. Kyle Kuzma, we talked about what he's bringing defensively. Doc was quick to point out, hey, in the Warriors game, you saw him switching back and forth on guys. Against the Sixers, we saw him defending Tyrese Maxey and then defending Joel Embiid. So that's the next step. Is I'm really eager to see some of the lineups that Doc Rivers can roll out. And the way that the Bucks can potentially hold up defensively now with a guy like Kyle Kuzma, where you could say we could play lineups where we could essentially switch just about everything depending on who's playing point guard. If we play Giannis at the 5 and Kuzma at power forward, Torian Prince at the 3, A.J. Green or Gary Trent Jr. or somebody in the backcourt, and assuming Damian Lillard is out there, that's a much different look than what we've seen from this team. Since, I mean, I don't want to get too hyperbolic here, but arguably since the year they won the title.
So let me preface this, Justin. I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here in a second. That I believe it was Friday after the trade deadline, you had presented the question to me if I thought this Bucks team was better post-trade deadline. I said yes. Obviously, we didn't see anything on the court, you know, outside of a couple, you know, highlights from Kuzma and Washington, the few that they selected, and we had no idea how he was going to fit. We also didn't have Giannis in any of these games yet. But knowing what you know now, seeing what you have seen so far, I think the Bucks are 2-2 record-wise since the trade deadline. Do you think, in your opinion, your humble opinion, that this Bucks team is better post-trade deadline than they were pre-trade deadline?
They're better for next year in the summer, for sure. It still remains to be seen this year, but it's a good start.
So is it that you got to see Giannis, obviously, and how they approach Kuzma and Giannis and how that works and see where they go possibly with the buyout, where they go with, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. and what they're going to do with Ryan Rollins? Are those the things you're waiting to see? Because obviously you got to see it. I agree with you. You have to see these things play out, especially when your best player has not played since the trade deadline. But I said that I thought they were better post-trade deadline, although it pained me to say that because I love Chris Middleton and I still do. But Kyle Kuzma, I'm going to be quite honest with you, man. I didn't watch a whole lot of Washington Wizards games outside of them playing the Bucks. He's a lot better than I anticipated since he arrived in Milwaukee. I think that's only going to go up. I think that's going to continue to ascend, especially playing alongside a guy like Giannis. Now, that's yet to be determined, obviously. You got to see, you know, these guys got to play. Kevin Porter Jr. trade, you kind of went over it, you know, very thoroughly, was still great. That was a great trade for many reasons. I still want to see Jericho Sims sooner rather than later. I know I might be. I think you and I had talked about it the night that happened. We were on live during the Bucks announcing that trade. That I was just I don't. He presented something we haven't necessarily seen outside of Giannis, the athleticism speaking for his size. So I want to see him sooner rather than later. But I think when I look at this team, and I know. It was an ugly game Monday against Golden State. You know, second leg of a back-to-back, you could probably chalk that up. Tonight was a really big win, man. I mean, Sunday against Philadelphia was a big win. I think this Bucks team is ascending. It goes back to what you and I have had, you know, talked about a number of times. Like, you just got to be healthy. You got to get these guys right going into March and April, and we'll see how serious the Giannis thing is. I think I'm with you that you probably don't see him. I believe you said made a comment around you probably don't see him on February 20th. But nonetheless, I think that's first and foremost. But I think without question, Justin, this team is better post trade deadline.
Yeah, I don't know if you can say without question because it's four games, and again, you did this. Like, part of it was to give yourself some cap flexibility and to get younger. But it's a big if to say, hey, if Chris Middleton can stay healthy, we think we're as good as anyone. I get that's a big if. But there were no questions about what Chris Middleton could give you in the playoffs. I mean, look at last year. And that is, I think, the question that you have with this group is you got younger, you got more athletic. It's been a nice start for the most part in all four games for Kyle Kuzma and the two games that we've seen, this game especially. I think there were some rough moments against the Warriors, but you can see the thought behind it with Kevin Porter Jr., but it's three guys that are unproven in the playoffs. I know Kyle Kuzma was a part of a championship team, but it was a different environment. So that's the biggest question that's out there of, okay, are these 16 guys or are these 82-game guys? And that's why I don't think we can definitively say one way or another, and we won't know if the Bucks are better until we get to the playoffs.
I like the Kuzma, and I respect that answer, and you're right. You're without question. You're right on that take. The thing that sticks out for me with Kuzma is his best, and I know the bubble, you take the bubble aside, but his best days as a pro were playing alongside LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Now, I don't know if there's a LeBron James on this basketball team. I like Giannis a lot, but I don't know if I'd put him on the LeBron James level just quite yet, but playing alongside two guys where Kuzma doesn't have to be the number one option and he can kind of do what we've kind of seen him do and kind of fit in, up, rebound the basketball. The Bucks have been awful over the last 2 weeks or so rebounding the basketball. So he brings that to the table. Maybe the without question is a little hyperbolic, but I don't know. I look at this team and I see the flexibility, Justin, that they can have position wise, like Kevin Porter Jr., what he brings. You know, he could play alongside Damian Lillard, you know, if that's the route that, you know, they want to run that lineup. Kyle Kuzma can play the three. He can play the four. That, you know, that moves things around, you know, especially when you play a team like the New York Knicks, who could very well happen in the playoffs. And you got to match up with a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns or Evan Mobley in Cleveland. Like, the way that you're able to kind of be flexible on offense and defense with that acquisition, to me, signals that this team got better. And it's no knock on Chris Middleton. There's no knock at all, because you will never be able to substitute what Chris Middleton brought inside that locker room, on the court, off the court. Like, he is one of the very, very best. But right now, speaking like this very moment, I'm just I it's hard for me to be, you know, talked off that ledge that this team is better. And obviously, we'll see, right? Like, we'll see where it goes in March and in April. And you just hope that, again, I feel like I've said this 100 times, just give me a fair chance in the playoffs and get me my guys healthy. Give me Giannis healthy. Get me Dame healthy. And hopefully this break leads to that happening, especially with Giannis, because by reports of Chris Haynes, Dame should be good to go. He's actually going to participate in the All-Star game, so there's no concern there. So just get me Giannis healthy, and I'm curious to see where these lineups that Doc Rivers can exploit with this team going forward.
Well, I mean, Doc himself said today that Dame is playing in the All-Star game. And,
okay, I didn't hear that, so I was just going off a report from Chris Haynes.
I mean, and Kyle Kuzma was the third or fourth best player. Like, he wasn't the second best player on that Lakers team. It was still LeBron and Anthony Davis. And
that was the point I made.
It's still a guy that has 27 career playoff games, and 21 of them came that year in the bubble. He has not been in the playoffs since 2021. When he played six games with the Lakers. So that's the only thing that we have to keep an eye on, where the jury is still out, to see, okay, how does this work in the playoffs? And was it the environment of the bubble? Was it? It wasn't just LeBron and Anthony Davis. The guys that were most impactful on that Lakers team, Kyle Kuzma fit his role perfectly, but Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was arguably the third best player for the Lakers. He got a huge payday from the Denver Nuggets because of his play in the bubble. Alex Caruso got a huge payday from the Bulls because of what he did in the bubble. Like, they were loaded with guys that fit that bill. And again, Kyle Kuzma was effective, but that's my biggest question, to see, okay, I get how this works in the regular season. It gives you more size on the perimeter, and you're going to need this if you're going through teams like the Celtics, like the Knicks, certainly now with the addition of DeAndre Hunter, like the Cleveland Cavaliers. So let's just check back in on this once we get to the playoffs and get a chance to see how this works then. I think that's the only question that's out there. And that's, I think, more so with Kyle Kuzma. I don't know if I'd say we know what his role is, but I think we have a pretty good idea, at least as of right now, of what Kevin Porter Jr.'s role is. And Jericho Sims, I just think, is more of, not a project, but more of a, we're continuing to develop this, and this is our guy for down the road. Because, again, the minutes got to come from somewhere. And I think Bobby Portis, actually, let's save this. Let's take one more break and come back and talk about one thing that strikes me about Bobby Portis now on this team versus the way that this team was structured before. We'll get into that conversation coming up after this. All right, so one of the things, too, about the Bucks front court is when you're healthy, I think you're more than set. And that's not even including Jericho Sims. I know we all get really hung up on the highlights that we see of Jericho. We do it every year. The NFL draft and the NBA draft, where you see highlights and, oh, this guy. Like, I'm not denying the athletic ability he has. I think this is more of a long-term thing of next year. Maybe they squeeze in some minutes for him here. I mentioned earlier, too, I wonder if you're saving to, like, we'd like to play him alongside Giannis to have some more switchable lineups. The only caveat with that is he's not a shooter. He's a rim roller. I don't know what that looks like. It's the same conversation we've had about Andre Jackson Jr. So that's my biggest question there. But I think he has nice tools, and I'm eager to see the Bucks develop him. I just don't get the vibe it's going to be a part of the playoff run this year. But the rest of the front court, with Kyle Kuzma's size, and let's assume you're at full strength next week when you open up the second half, you get Brook Lopez at center, Giannis at power forward, Kyle Kuzma at small forward. It's a lot of length that you have in the front court. And it's a lot of good rebounders, or at least in the case of Brook Lopez, his teams are good at rebounding when he's on the floor. And you got Bobby Portis kind of waiting in the wings, and you can stagger your minutes more of, okay, we can play two of those guys together, and maybe it's Giannis and Kuz, or Brook Lopez and Kuz, and we bring in Bobby Portis. I think the thing about Bobby Portis is I think we all swing too far, good or bad, with him. And I think it swung way too far on the bad side earlier this season, especially the last couple of weeks when everybody was eyeing trades for getting out from that $12 million. But you saw the importance that he brings rebounding the basketball in his absence, how much the Bucks plummeted, especially when they didn't have Bobby Portis and Giannis, right? But I mentioned this somewhere else. You go back to that the year the Bucks won the title and shortly thereafter. Bobby Portis, I'm not going to say he doesn't have flaws. Every player does. But it seemed like the fit was much better on a defense-first team where you had that in your starting lineup and then Bobby Portis was your scoring punch off the bench. The last year and a half where this, you know, was largely an offensive team, the defense has been much better this year. But when this was an offensive team, it's kind of overkill, and you need, in that case, when you're going to your bench, you need defenders to come in. So to me, these moves at the deadline, I think, gives you a lot more defensive versatility as well. And I think it once again boosts the importance and the impact of somebody like Bobby Portis, who goes back to that role of, okay, we know he can rebound. We got different groupings we can play him with as well, with a guy like Kyle Kuzma. Who knows? Maybe we see a Bobby Portis at the four and Jericho Sims at the five bench unit at times. But his scoring pop off the bench, when you have guys like, okay, Gary Trent Jr. is giving you two-way play, but you're bringing in those two guys to score off the bench, I think it increases his value and his importance on this team to shift back towards a defense-first team, maybe a bit much when you have Giannis and Dame, but to shift back towards, it's a pretty strong defensive team, and now you have this guy that can come in and eat on offense.
Yeah, the trade deadline definitely helped out with the flexibility, but I'd never really fully understood, Justin, the trade talk surrounding him amongst Bucks fans, because I think that when you look at his splits this year, he's averaging almost a double-double. His last five games, the last two games weren't fantastic, but before that, 18 and 13, 26 and 15, 23 and 17. That doesn't like come off the bench on every team. You know what I mean? Like, Bobby Portis is a starter in a lot of different teams throughout the NBA. Like, what he does defensively, he is what he is. But when you're surrounded, I think, with above average defenders throughout the entire roster, I can live with that. And if he is able to give me darn near a double double every night, I mean, most nights it is. I mean, give me Bobby Portis over a lot of other players, especially coming off of the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to be careful with just looking at the basketball card numbers. But again, it's no fault of Bobby's. Like, yeah, there are limitations there defensively. You have to embrace what he is. And that was the issue, is a lot of times the Bucks needed to play a different way. They needed somebody else to play a different style than Bobby Portis, and that's not his game. So I think you have to accentuate his game, and again, I would argue they did that in 2021. I know he had moments where he wasn't seeing the floor in the playoffs, but you found the spots for him to fit in, and you know, even afterwards, too. Plus, the big thing with Bobby Portis is the one thing I never understood, the biggest thing I never understood about all the trade chatter surrounding him was, you better get somebody back that is very impactful, not just for the numbers, the raw numbers, the counting stats that he's going to put up, but because of how valuable that contract is. And we saw the opposite, where the harsh reality is, when you go back to the trade deadline and you see what you got for Chris Middleton, you saw how his contract is valued. It is the opposite for Bobby Portis, who is making just under $13 million this year. I mean, I hate to guarantee things. I can just about guarantee you, Bobby Portis, if he opts out this summer, which I would assume he does, he's going to make twice as much as his current annual value is. That's what the market is for a guy that can do that. So that was the other big thing is, yeah, he's your most valuable player, but in a sense, it almost didn't make sense to trade for him because of the cap situation the Bucks were in. where until you got under the second apron, you could only trade dollar for dollar or what he was making for somebody making less. And at his value, you're not going to match the production for somebody that's making right around the mid-level exception.
No, especially, like you said, coming off of the bench. I get, yeah, you don't want to look at just the his I think you said basketball card numbers, but I think, too, what he brings to your team, Justin, that you don't really have a number to measure, right? Like, he brings that tenacity. He brings that fiery passion. He's always got his teammates back. I think the thing that kind of goes without, you know, we kind of forget a lot about is what he brings outside of those numbers. And, a game at Fiserv Forum, and you've been there every one this year. I mean, there's not outside of Giannis, there's probably not a louder ovation for a player than Bobby Portis. He's clearly a fan favorite, and he's a fan favorite because of what he does, obviously what he does on the court, but the way that he handles himself as well. I think it's invaluable, and I have never been on the trade Bobby train. I never will be. I agree with you. He's going to double his salary, as he should, because he is in the sixth man running of the year almost. It feels like every other year, at least every year. I know he was last year. So, I don't know. He's a tremendous player, and he's going to be a huge part in hopefully what is a deep playoff run for this Bucks team.
I do want to shift a little bit to the post-All-Star break schedule. And the game that is suddenly the most intriguing game for the Bucks that no one would have said before the season started. We'll pivot to that conversation as we get set for the All-Star break ourselves, coming up after this on Bucks Talk. All right, so coming out of the break, the Bucks host the Clippers next Thursday. So you get Kevin Porter Jr. facing his old team, Marjon Beauchamp facing his old team. But the most interesting game left on the schedule for the Bucks is 1 week from Friday. It is night two of a back-to-back. The Bucks head to D.C. to take on the Washington Wizards. Chris Middleton has been away from the team, or will be away from the team, until after the All-Star break. Same with Marcus Smart, who the Wizards acquired. Their first game after the All-Star break is Friday against the Bucks. So in all likelihood, Chris Middleton's first game with the Washington Wizards is going to be against his old team and his old teammates. Next Thursday night, our next game broadcast, the Bucks host the Los Angeles Clippers, 7 o'clock tip, and be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will catch up with you then.